Greg Atkinson is an award-winning food writer, former head chef at Candlas Restaurant in Seattle, a longtime bastion of fine dining. He was also chief instructor at the Seattle Culinary Academy at Seattle Central Community College. Atkinson's memoir about his life in food is In Season, published back in 1997 and is now out in an updated version. Almost 2 years ago, Atkinson opened Restaurant Marché in Winslow on Bainbridge Island to rave reviews. I met him there recently. He had just set out his bread to rise and was ready for his morning coffee break. He made us double tall lattes. Greg Atkinson grew up in suburban Florida, the youngest of six children, and he started cooking as a child.
It was one of the few areas of my family life where I felt confident was in the kitchen.
And what did you make then?
I guess it started with after-school snacks. We had a tradition of, you know, after school you had a treat. And my mother, with six kids, I was the youngest of six, she grew weary of preparing all these snacks and didn't want to feed us just junk food off the shelf. So she said, you know, you can make anything you want for your snack. There's a cookbook. You know how to read. So she stocked the kitchen with supplies. And the deal was we could make whatever we wanted as long as we cleaned up.
Were your siblings tough critics of your initial efforts at cooking?
They were brutal. No, they loved everything I made. There was kind of a running joke in the family that something I would make from scratch would be, gosh, this is almost as good as store-bought.
Greg Atkinson later headed off to Goddard College on a creative writing scholarship, and he ended up working in the school's kitchen.
Goddard was an old school, and they had a well-established kitchen crew. There was a blind baker there who impressed me deeply. She knew where everything was, and she appreciated my help, but I had to be careful to put everything back in exactly the same spot. And I learned that that is a really valuable discipline, even if you're not blind. You need to be able to reach in the kitchen for an ingredient or a piece of equipment and find it.
Greg Atkinson left Goddard in his junior year. Eventually, he headed to the Northwest to finish school in Bellingham, and then he moved to San Juan Island. There were no jobs, but an opening came up at a new space called Café Bissette. Reluctantly, he went back into the kitchen.
I was pretty adamant that I would not make a career in food. I was going to school to get out of cooking. And it's funny how I fought it, but there was this wonderful tension where I wanted to be a writer, but I was cooking full time. And finally, a really brilliant waitress that I worked with said, write about food. And it was as simple as that, you know, those three words, write about food. It was like something clicked. And so I started writing essays about food. And I had never really hoped to publish any of that. It was more sort of journaling, chronicling what I ate, where it came from, how I prepared it, where it was served, and to whom. And then it was years later, actually, that my wife insisted that I submit some things for publication.
Atkinson began to publish articles for the local paper. This was the mid-'80s, before farmers markets, before the idea of eating local was well known. In his cooking and writing, Greg would seek out local food suppliers, buy seeds, and convince farmers to grow produce he wanted. He wasn't alone. It was the birth of what is now known as Northwest cuisine.
There was just this wonderful sort of coming together of all the things I'd hoped to see available to restaurants becoming more available, because there was a kind of a cabal of cooks, Tom Douglas and Kathy Casey. She was still at the Sheraton, then at Fuller's, and they were procuring ingredients from local farms and not from mainstream distributors at big restaurants in the city, and seeing that kind of thing happen. And then there were these symposiums and this conscious and deliberate effort by cooks in the Northwest to craft a Pacific Northwest cuisine.
Atkinson cooked and wrote about food.
But in my mind, I was always afraid that I couldn't be a real chef if I was also a writer, and I couldn't be a real writer if I was also a chef.
Now you're over that.
I'm pretty much over that. At age 40 or thereabouts, I heard a phrase from a Quaker pastor that was, let your life speak. And what do you want to do is really not a very helpful question, or, you know, what do you, you know, what kind of career do you have? What do you want to be when you grow up? All those questions are kind of moot points. They're dreamy and nonspecific. But if you let your life speak, if you say, what do I do? What trajectory am I on? I had these clear paths of, you know, I'm a father, I'm a husband, I'm a cook, I'm a writer. And I was fortunate enough to have the support system in a community and a network of venues and ways to live out those strands of my life, where it stopped mattering what my career was, and I stopped trying to satisfy some imaginary command as a kid to have a white collar job. And after all, I mean, chefs wear white too. So,
Greg Atkinson, chef and author. There's a famous quote that talking about music is like dancing about architecture, meaning it's pretty much impossible to express the essence of one art form through another art form. This is a challenge to food writers, how to capture the essence of food in words. Well, Greg Atkinson not only runs the Restaurant Marché in Winslow, but he's also a former chief instructor at the Seattle Culinary Academy. He's also known for his writing about food. Back in 2000, the James Beard Foundation awarded Greg Atkinson the MFK Fisher Distinguished Writing Award for an article he wrote called Diary of a Stagiaire. A stagiaire is a cook who works briefly for free in another cook's kitchen. We spoke about the story and how he approaches writing about food.
In that story, like the kind of writing I admired, I afforded like these personal details about my life and what was actually happening for me when I shelled peas outside the bathroom door in the basement of Danielle's famous restaurant in Manhattan. I mean, it was, you know, I was recalling shelling peas with my own sons in the garden. And I think that those kinds of connections and providing sensory detail to the writing, like what did it actually smell like? You know, what did it, what was the air like on my skin? You know, how did the peas feel when I touched them? What sort of noises was I hearing? You know, how loud was it in that kitchen? And, you know, were there sights that you might not expect? So just the visual stimuli, the, you know, the sounds, the aromas of any experience, whether it be in a wheat field in Eastern Washington or in a basement kitchen in Manhattan, I think I can take readers there to some extent, to the degree that I take time to recall exactly how it truly was.
Greg Atkinson told me that good food writing connects to personal experiences.
If I don't know how to approach a topic, I do it. For example, I had an assignment. I had promised an editor a story about risotto, and I thought, Jesus, I know nothing about risotto. I don't want to research the history of risotto and regurgitate it, you know, from someone else's source. So I went into the kitchen, and I turned on the stove, and I got out the rice, and I made a pot of risotto. And then I reflected on what came up for me while I was doing it, and it was just this relaxing time in my kitchen. No one else was home. The midday light was pouring through the window in a way that brought back times before I was, when I was a preschooler or staying home sick from school, that quietness of a house when the daylight is coming in and there's a peace there. So I was just there. And when I wrote about that and doing that and the ghosts of my grandmother and my mother and the ancestors who lived in Italy before them and the fact that I was using rice from Asia and here I was perched on the edge of the Pacific Ocean using Japanese rice in an Italian dish, and it all felt so perfectly normal because I just described that light coming in and the what you're looking for in the pearls of rice when the light passes through them.
Greg Atkinson spent time with renowned food writer MFK Fisher near the end of her life. She died in 1992. And coincidentally, the writing award he won from the James Beard Foundation was named after her.
It must have been such a thrill to get this award named after someone who you saw as a heroine. Did it influence your career at all? Did it open up doors for you to get that award?
I hoped it would. When I got that award, I thought, wow, I can really write for national publications regularly now. And, you know, at $2,500 a pop, you know, selling a lot of articles in national magazines, you can actually make a living as a freelance writer doing that. And that's something I had still harbored a hope for. Even though I love being in the kitchen, I live to play restaurant now that I own a restaurant. I was still harboring some hope then that I might be able to support my family as a writer. And I had imagined that that award might segue to that kind of career. It did not.
Chef and writer Greg Atkinson. A few years ago, at age 52, Greg Atkinson did something he had never done before. He started his own place, Restaurant Marché on Bainbridge Island. We talked about why it took so long.
So you had worked as a chef in a small restaurant. You'd worked as a chef in a large restaurant. You had developed a career writing about food, but you had never run your own restaurant. You quote Nora Ephron as saying, owning a restaurant is a kind of universal fantasy everyone ought to grow out of sooner rather than later, or else you will be stuck with the restaurant, end quote. Apparently you did not.
Oh, God bless Nora Ephron. You know, I think without, I discovered that quote long after I had heard that voice inside my own head. I had resisted several opportunities to open a restaurant of my own, because I didn't want the risk. I didn't want that financial risk. I was trying to raise a family, and I was afraid that we could lose our home, you know. Or I had seen couples open restaurants and watch their marriage fail, watch them fail financially. I just thought, you know, I can't risk that. Part of that was because I lived in a remote resort community where we only had 12 to 16 weeks a year to make it. Living in a more stable, larger community like Bainbridge Island, it makes it easier than it would have been in Friday Harbor. And, you know, there's something about a mid-sized community like Bainbridge where I don't have the competition of the big city. People's expectations might be lower. But for me, it's just about being close to home and about using food from a farm that I can walk to from my house. And, you know, I can hear the chickens and roosters crowing from my bed, from the farm that produces my eggs. It's nice. I like being close to home.
As you were opening it, you were 52, and you talk about a reporter who asked you, how are you going to handle the long hours and the hard work? And because, as you are well aware, restaurant people are really hard, and then on top of that, you're also the owner of the restaurant. Had you thought that through?
I knew I had loved that kind of work when I was younger, and I hoped that I would love it again. Ross, it was amazing. Like most guys who are 52, I had put on a few extra pounds over the years. I think I gained a pound or two a year every year for about 25 years. And so I was heavier. The work was harder. And yet, 90 days into it, I realized that I had dropped 25 or 30 pounds without dieting, eating more and drinking more than I had in years.
That could indicate a medical emergency, but not so in your case.
Not at all. No, my doctor was happy. My cholesterol levels went down. The hard physical work of the restaurant actually restored my youth.
And is it a successful business?
You know, it is a successful business. We have met our sales goals for the first 2 years. Expenses have been a little bit higher. It's sort of a break-even proposition. I'm not paying back my investors yet, but we are paying our salaries and we are paying our vendors, and we are making customers very happy.
Chef, food writer, and restaurateur Greg Atkinson. He owns and operates Restaurant Marché on Bainbridge Island. I'm Ross Reynolds.